back to my channel. I thought I'd film in my office today for something a little bit different. I thought a good topic for this week would be how I fix my digestion and bloating issues through going plant-based 5.5 years ago. If you're new here, hello, my name is Casey Amber and I'm a holistic nutritionist. I also do bodybuilding, DJ, and I've got lots of other interests, but the reason I decided to pursue nutrition was because I had such a struggle with bloating years ago, back when I was at university. I studied hotel management and we lived like in a hotel setting. So you would live there. When you did housekeeping to learn, you would go through and clean everyone's rooms. When you learned waitressing, we would all dine at the restaurant. And then when you were a waitress, you'd learn all parts of the kitchen, like doing pot wash. We would do shifts in the kitchen. We would serve everyone there for 3 meals a day as well. So it was like a hotel setting that we were immersed in. And they fed us off $7 a day. And it was a very expensive degree. And we always used to complain about it. And I just remember, like, the meat was always very chewy, and like a serving of vegetables to them, you had like a tinier bit of broccoli to share between four people, so it was like two soggy broccoli heads was like your serving of vegetables. And we would always get heaps of bread and heaps of soft drinks. So people usually put on quite a bit of weight by going to their university, because you're just filling up on white carbs and lots of gluten and lots of things that spike your blood sugar levels. And then to try stay awake at night, we're eating chocolate, drinking energy drinks. I managed to stay okay, like I didn't my weight didn't fluctuate too badly, because I'd always grown up doing a lot of sports. We still had that undertone of muscle, so I just used to go to for a few runs. I never knew how to do weight training or strength training back then, or anything got to do with the gym. I'd just go on like the cross trainer and do some sit-ups kind of thing. So luckily it wasn't too bad for me, but the pain I experienced in my stomach and digestive system, the backup of food, because we're meant to excrete everything between 1 to 3 times a day. And you shouldn't have to try. That's the thing that I tell people. And when you hear these stories of men who spend like 20 to 30 minutes in the bathroom, and then everyone online says like, oh, they're just going on their phone to escape the world, and like they're not actually going that whole time, they're just using it as a distraction in a way, as a way to have a break. But quite a few people actually do take 20 minutes to 30 minutes to go to the bathroom, and you shouldn't you shouldn't have to try. So it is actually a big issue, and that's how we excrete all the waste from our body and detoxify. And yeah, it should be a very regular thing, and that is the thing that aids that the best is fiber and eating like high volume of whole food, so that our bodies can actually break it down and actually gets everything out. And I actually believe that having a buildup of this food in our colon and intestine can actually contribute towards those cancers from a lifetime of highly processed food and not enough fiber, because it gets built up and stuck and just stays there for years and years, like rotting away inside of us. So it is important to actually like optimize our diet and clean things out, so that we can just be operating as our highest level selves every day. So before we get into the video, if you want to connect with me online, head over to Casey Amber on Instagram or TikTok. That's where I post pretty much daily. I've also got my plant powered podcast, where I'm getting back into weekly episodes, so that will all be linked in the description below. And don't forget to subscribe if you like videos about health and wellness, nutrition, business, lifestyle, all the things. So it's been a bit of a journey discovering what works for my body. And it started off, I finished my degree and I worked in a 5-star hotel in a corporate office, and yeah, would drive ages to the city every day to get to work and just go through all these stacks of paperwork. I did all the billing for like 800 people dinners. I've always had so many jobs, yeah, like actual doing hospitality, carrying 12 plates on one arm and everything, just working overnight shifts. The longest I ever stayed awake was 54 hours on one of my placements, just doing back-to-back jobs. I would start work in the restaurant, so I'd work like 4 till maybe 5 till 9 p.m. in the restaurant serving everyone, then have a break, and then do like from 10 till 4 a.m. at the nightclub. That was only when I moved there when I was 17 to Alice Springs, but then I just started off as a glassy. Then once I turned 18, I could work behind the bar as well. So I was fresh 18 doing that. And then would finish work at 4 a.m., didn't have a car, walked home, had a bowl of cereal, got in my chef's uniform, walked into town, then did 5 a.m. till 10 a.m. as a breakfast chef, and I completely burned myself out into the ground to the point I couldn't get out of bed. I got fired from that job because there was just so many mornings, like I couldn't actually move my body because I was working myself into the ground so much. So yeah, got out of all of that. And then I watched all these plant-based documentaries. The first one that really struck me was What the Health, and they say they always over-exaggerize these documentaries and have biased opinions and all that kind of stuff, but it really did open my mind to how opposite the marketing is for all of the health foods. And then once I studied nutrition and looked into the blue zones, basically everything that you see in the ads online do the opposite. That's what I've learned over the years. So that's pretty crazy, like learning about the actual effects of milk and that the countries around the world who drink the most milk for healthy bones have the highest rates of osteoporosis and bone fractures. So it's like, it was just such a complete turnaround and shift in mindset. I was blown away. So I went on this little journey and I tried going plant-based. So first I probably cut out most meats, probably red meat. I remember back then I brought, was when I was still studying, I brought lamb and I was like, oh yeah, I'll just buy this for something different this week. And I think I like cooked it in the oven, like a roast, and just tried to copy like what my mom did when I was young or something. And I just pulled it out and was trying to turn it into a meal. And I just had all this bits of gristle. And it just really, really put me off my food. It was so gross. And so I cut out red meat first and then probably cut out like white meat and then cheese and eggs. I've still eaten eggs over the years, like from backyard hens and when I've had my own hens. So I don't have that luxury at the moment because I had to move house. So I don't know, at some stage when I can get hens again, I'd love that because they're just so cute. And like you just go outside and you're like, and they like talk to you and stuff, so it's really nice just having them as friends and like you can pick them up and hold them and stuff, so it's like a mutual love and you know that they've got a good life. And the true vegans who like don't eat any animal products like are still against that, but I just follow a 90% approach and I found that that's worked best for me, for my mental health and my body over the years. I still sometimes have cheese, like if I'm at a restaurant or just like for the odd meal here and there, so I just follow like a 90% approach. The reason that cheese is addictive is because of the casimorphin. So it actually, when you eat it, it targets the same part of your brain as hard drugs like heroin. So cheese is physically addictive. So when you eat it, like even like the salt taste or something, that's the thing that people give up last because it's just so hard. And then, yeah, just went on this journey years ago, actually, before, like when I was still living in Alice Springs, before I even went on this journey, I tried giving up milk. So I had a cough for a whole entire year. Or 2 years, like through every season including summer, I just always had mucus in my throat, and then gave up milk, boom, it's gone. And another little insight into how I used to eat back then in Alice Springs as well, when I was doing all those triple shifts, that's when I was 17 or 18. So one day I woke up and just for breakfast alone, I used to eat quite a lot back in the day because of all the sport I did. And I was never like big in my old photos. Like I just had bigger arms and way chubbier cheeks, but it was probably just growth hormones from being a teenager. I've never been like in a larger body, but my body composition is way different now. But I could always eat a lot more growing up, because of the sport and how active I was. I woke up one day and I was like, oh, I'm hungry. I'm gonna put 2 steak on the barbecue, ate it straight with nothing else, just 2 steak plain. And then I was like, oh, I'm still hungry. I'm just gonna cook up the other 2. So that was a family pack of steak for breakfast, first thing in the morning with like no greenery on the side. I had a beautiful lunch today. I have this yummy cranberry pita bread thing with rocket, like no sides, just 4 pieces of steak. And that's what I came from into this whole plant-based journey. So it's crazy to think now that like for the average person, we eat meat 3 times a day. Like you'll have bacon and eggs for breakfast, and then you'll have like a chicken salad for lunch, and then you'll have spaghetti bolognese for dinner, and then sometimes our snacks have meat in it too. And that is actually quite a lot. And when you compare it to the blue zones, they're just having meat as the flavoring of the dish, or for a celebration for someone's birthday, or they're getting together for something, then they'll have it as like the celebration, not the everyday thing, staple of their plate that takes up most of the plate. It'll just be like a tiny bit on the side if they eat meat at all. So ratios are a huge thing that I've learned about as well. Like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It's about the whole picture and what actually works for your body as a whole. It doesn't have to be so black and white, if that makes sense. So giving up dairy was huge for me, just clearing out all the mucus. I've never had issues with my skin or acne or anything like that, but that's a big one that can contribute towards skin issues because of all the hormones in it and everything like that. And also 70% of the world are lactose intolerant, and everyone drinks milk like every day. The world has actually changed so much since, like, in the last few years, but yeah. And people say plant milks are bad because it's got all these additives, blah blah blah, but it doesn't have hormones designed to grow like this calf into a huge mammal. Like, the proteins and hormones of human breast milk is designed for our body, but like, if you were to drink a cup of human breast milk, that's actually like what we would have as a species, but not from a cow. And yeah, we've just bred them to produce so much more, which puts strain on their bodies, and like, oh my god, just, yeah, it's a big rabbit hole. So dairy was the first one. In the way that I approach things now is that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. So if I eat, like, I'm not full vegan kind of thing, just 90 to 95%. So if I'm eating crackers and hummus, I don't really care if the crackers have milk powder in it, because it's just such a like a small amount. So what I've found works for me is just swapping out all the big things. So swapping out the milk and swapping out things that I use for pasta sauce. I just use soy milk and nutritional yeast to create like a macaroni cheese and things like that. So just swapping out those bigger items. And I do enjoy like vegan mayo and aioli. But say if I'm dining out like at the airport and there's not many options, and there's like a mayonnaise with egg in it on a veggie option, I don't really care about that. I'm just going to eat it because at least it's veggie, at least I'm halfway there kind of thing. And it just depends on how you handle things with your mental health. Like, if it's such a stressful thing for you to go anywhere because there's nothing to eat and then you're going to starve, and then when you go to other people's houses and like they might make a veggie option but there's like a smidgen of something, I just do the best I can in the moment. The next thing for me was gluten, and same approach, like, I don't give it up 100%. I ate a pita bread today that has gluten in it and I'm fine. So what I've found is just switching out the bigger items. So when I buy bread, I have been buying gluten-free this whole entire time, but then switched to sourdough, and it does still feel a little bit heavy. It all depends on the quality of the product and like, yeah, how long it's fermented for, and yeah, pretty much just the quality of the flour that they're using. Like, some sourdoughs still feel really gluggy when you have it, but some of them you feel great after, absolutely fine as if it's gluten-free. But yeah, otherwise I just opt for a gluten-free option. But yeah, today I had a pita bread and also had some mock chicken that's seitan base, which is made from wheat gluten, and it was actually fine. So over the years your gut can kind of heal itself as well. But say if I was to eat a meal at a restaurant with just the white pasta, like the cheap one, I would not be able to digest that. That with like a cream sauce, I couldn't even imagine how thick it would be, but just trying to break that down because my body's not used to it. Like, yeah, you definitely notice the difference when you take something out of your diet and then reintroduce it back again, and you realize how hard your body struggles. So that's kind of a good way to tell if you can have things or not. So yeah, I just find the most of the time approach works well for everything. If it's a big thing like pasta, bread, all those kinds of things, like I swapped it out for chickpea pasta, which is a gluten-free option and also high in protein and stuff. So that's been an excellent journey. I swapped my yogurt out for coconut, kind of the fattiness in it gives me a weird tummy as well, but I do enjoy soy yogurt, and I just found an oat yogurt as well, which was really nice. So yeah, it's just about finding those little swaps for yourself. So the thing with meat is that it takes quite a long time for our body to break it down. And in some of the documentaries that I watched, they gave a good analogy, which was just comparing ourselves to a lion. And a lion will chase after its prey and eat it raw and tear it apart with its teeth. And we're obviously like not designed to do that, but just the their intestine and their gut is much shorter, so food moves through it much quicker. So before the meat has a chance to go off, it's kind of like exiting the body. But whereas humans, our intestines are much longer, so things can go off like before it even reaches the other end. And me and my friend always joke about this as well, but like meat and animal products do affect your body odor as well. And she sent me a message the other day, and she eats just 90% plant-based, same as me, just the odd bit of fish kind of thing, or like she might have chicken like once every couple of months. And she just tried a tiny mouthful of like a slider that had a red meat on it, and she probably hasn't eaten it for years, and she's like, oh, I just gave it a go just because it was there, just to have like one mouthful. And she said honestly the next day, she like, you can smell it in your sweat. She's like, I smelled like it. And it affects the way you taste as well, for all the women out there that don't know that already. So when you eat plant-based, it affects those areas. Now, when introducing high fiber foods, it's important to do it slowly so that our bodies can take time to adjust. If you're adding beans and legumes into your diet, you can't really just have a bulk load in one go for the first time ever, because our gut bacteria is designed to break down what we're currently eating. So slower transitions are better. Just adding like a few spoonfuls to your meal, then maybe like half a cup or something, just to kind of get into it before you can just start straight having lentils and all those kinds of things if your body has never created the bacteria to break it down in the past. And also, I just find our taste buds crave what we're already eating as well. And I go through stages of this myself. Like, I used to eat so many more like veggie stir fries and all this really clean food. And then once you go through a period of like eating hot chips and burgers and stuff, then your taste palate automatically craves the stuff you're already eating. So when you want to start making serious change, what my friend used to say was she would try to eat a veggie and it would make her want to spew because she thought it was so disgusting, and she'd be like over the sink gagging just thinking about how gross a piece of carrot is or something. So she just had to start eating it and just start like grating it up, putting it into the meal, hiding the veggies until your taste palate changes, and then your body actually starts to crave those foods. And when you go back to eating normal, you're like, oh my god, I actually just really crave some veggies and a decent salad or a big stir fry, because your body then learns what actually feels good. But it can take time to make the transition in the first place. Also, like 2 weeks ago or something, GYG, that takeaway store in Australia, Guzman Y. Gomez, there was a stage last year I just was not in the mood for anything. I was going through terrible housing issues. I was first meeting my partner, and we just had like a can't believe I'm saying this on here. We just had like a 3-month bender. Like, he wasn't working, he was just working for himself. I was working for myself most of the time, like just working at a cafe 2 days a week. But we're just having benders all the time. We're just getting to know each other. We're just having so much fun. And we'd just be too tired, like I couldn't be bothered to cook. We were stressed about trying to find a house. So we're just getting GYG all the time and got addicted to it. And I was just at the gym one day last year, and I was like, oh my god, like my armpits actually smelt like GYG. And I was like, that's how you know you've got to stop. So I hadn't eaten it for months and months. And then the other weekend, we were on this drive into the city to go meet someone, and he was like, oh, should we get that for dinner? And I was like, oh, I've just eaten out all day. I don't really feel like the salt. And also, it's not really good for protein if you have physique goals as well, because they've got like a shredded mushroom option. It's super high calorie because of all the sauce and oil and stuff like that. But mushroom is just a veggie as well, so it's not like chicken where you're at least getting some protein. It's just like rice for the carbs. They add a tiny bit of beans and mushroom, which is just another veggie, and then just heaps of salty sauce. So it's like really not a nourishing meal. But because I hadn't had it for months, the first mouthful, I was like, oh, how do I used to eat this every week and just get used to it and actually crave it. But then when you haven't had it for ages, you realize how rich it is and how salty it is and things like that. So making transitions do take time, but you've just got to start with the habits and just start doing them before you're craving it, and then your body will start to do it for you. And just looking back at my notes for this video as well, I forgot to say at the start that my bloating was so bad when I was at university that I would sometimes go to hospital. Like, after every dinner, I'd be on the couch. I couldn't digest anything. And I thought sometimes that I was having an ectopic pregnancy, like when the baby like starts to grow in your fallopian tube. Like, I think because it was my colon or intestine, it was pushing on my uterus from behind, so it just felt like uterus problems. And I'd go to the hospital and they would just never ask, like, oh, what's your diet like, do you have any food sensitivities, anything like that, like dairy and gluten, the two biggest things that cause issues for people. A few other things are cruciferous veggies as well. Like, quite a lot of people have got to go low FODMAP and cut out onion and garlic because they can cause issues for people. Even things like cauliflower and cabbage, they can cause a lot of gas for people. So it's not that you have to cut out those things forever. I can eat like stacks of that stuff now. But when you're going through the journey, yeah, it's just about learning those trigger foods. So we should not be going to the toilet every few days, which is what I used to do. And I wonder, I was so backed up. And it's so embarrassing when you go to hospital thinking you've got all these issues and they're like, oh, it's just your colon. And I think I had like my boyfriend at the time there or something, and I was like, oh my god, that's so embarrassing, how am I in this situation right now? But yeah, just going plant-based, it doesn't make you feel heavy, so you can eat a meal and feel like you're ready to get up and go to the gym. But when you go back to eating the dense animal products and things like that, you feel quite bogged down after a meal. It can take a lot to digest. That's what I've found. Like, the food just makes you feel a lot lighter in your stomach, and you can stack your plate up more because it's usually lower calorie. So it's honestly just been a lifesaver. That's why I decided to dedicate my life to it. I've also done, like, I started a plant-based food truck in the beef capital a couple of years ago and was trying to just like get plant-based food out to the world. I've had these thoughts about doing it again, and yeah, it might be something to work towards next year, but it's just such a special thing actually being able to change people's lives through food, because they just live with these issues every day and just think that that's life, but you can actually do something about it, and the food can actually be delicious and satisfying and filling. People usually think that if you eat vegan, like, you're going to be starving the whole time. So honestly, there's so many good things about it, which is why, yeah, I just talk about it every day. It's like the first thing I tell people and have created a whole business around this. So my new venture, my plant powered recipe app, is now live. If you want some easy recipes that satisfy you, they don't create heaps of dishes, you're not going to be in the kitchen cooking for hours on end. There are a few things that take like a longer cooking time, like maybe a big lasagna, but it's going to give you so much meal prep that you're not going to need to cook for days. Especially, that's great if you've got a family and things like that as well, or if you're just working so much that you don't want to have to think for the next few days. So you can put like lasagna and stuff in the freezer as well. There's just so many easy options and full of flavor. I always thought vegan food is like disgusting. I don't know, like, it's just got the stigma about it. So that's why I want to change it and just show, hey, this can actually be recreated as a plant-based version, and it tastes amazing, and it's so easy to make. It's got minimal steps, minimal ingredients, and yeah, it's just going to change the way that people look at food. And I've had like lots of thoughts around the marketing and stuff. What held me back for so long is that most coaches, well, pretty much every coach you go to online, so they'll give you a meal plan, or a lot of the fitness people actually have just been giving macro targets. But in general day-to-day life, I don't track food at all. And I have done it like in my bodybuilding prep, and at the moment I'm like, oh yeah, I get most of the way through the day. Like, I get through breakfast and lunch, and then I always forget dinner because I should be tracking my protein. But I just don't live my life with that much structure around my food, and it's something got to do with my personality or the way my brain works. I'm so intuitive. I can tune into exactly what I'm craving that day. Is it a really carby potato salad with veggie bacon and rocket and some vegan mayo through it and spinach, so it's like this really dense thing? Or do I want something really light, like maybe a vegan chicken and corn soup, like if you're feeling like you're starting to get sick, with some nice veggie broth in it and all these nutrients that just, you feel like the nutrients trickling down and going into your body is just so delicious. So I've just always lived like that, like just deciding what I want at the time and just pulling things out of the pantry and putting it in the pan. And I don't know, that's why it's so hard for me to track, because I just like create this thing and I'm like, I don't know what I put in it. So I'm trying to record the recipes, but I just don't like that rigid approach. Like if something is specifically on your meal plan to eat on a Saturday lunchtime, then what happens if you're out and you eat something else? Then you're going to beat yourself up and you're going to be off plan, and then you've got to try and make up for it, and it's like all the stress. Or you can just say like, oh, I feel like eating this thing from the app, and then it's all good. So yeah, I've had so many thoughts come up, like, yeah, how this useful for people, but it's really good for people who may have eating disorders and want to step away from macro tracking and calorie counting. I do have one Comp Prep Hacks category. That one does have the calorie and macro breakdown because it's for a comp preps, but all the other categories like breakfast and things like that, and all the snacks, sweet treats and desserts, and lunches and dinners, they don't have any numbers or anything. So it's really good if you're wanting to steer away from that and tune in more with your body. But if you do want to track, you can obviously just save that recipe into MyFitnessPal, and then it's easy to calculate anyway. So all the details for that will be in the description below. Currently, I've only just launched it a couple of weeks ago, so it's still new. I'm going to be adding more content to it as time goes on. But it's specifically designed for people who want to fix their digestion issues. If you eat meat, like as well, for example, if it's got like a mock chicken and you don't want to eat mock chicken, you can add real chicken. And like, I don't care about that kind of thing. I always encourage my clients to make things work for them. Or if you are vegan and you don't want to eat mock meat, you can still add, like, make your own homemade seitan. You can swap it out for tofu or tempeh. You can do all those things. And I encourage you to make the recipes your own as well, so that it best suits your body and your family and your household. So that will all be in the description, and you can sign up at the moment for $19.99. It probably will go up in the future as more content is added, but that's just a special deal for the launch. So that is super exciting. Thank you so much for tuning in, and don't forget you can connect with me on socials on Instagram or TikTok at Cassie Amber, or check out the Plant Powered podcast as well for if you want to listen to any of these with an audio version. Don't forget to subscribe and stay tuned for next week. Thank you so much for tuning in.